This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're now entering Place to Be Nation Sports Lounge. And now, here are your hosts, Roger Morissette, Chad Campbell, Andrew Flanagan, Jeff Machado, and Keith Schmidt.
Come on, girl. Yeah. It's me, Jackie Murray. Give me that look. That's right. Let's get sweaty. Let's get real sweaty. I'm talking rainforest sweaty. I'm talking swamp sweaty. Let's fill a bathtub full of sweat. All right.
Daddy, who wants to love me sexy?
Hello, folks. Welcome to this week's edition of the Sports Lounge. Got a decent crowd in the lounge tonight. Hope everybody enjoyed last week's special episode with the voice of the Providence Friars, John Rook. Great time. It was really, really great hearing him and Cowboy Senior swap stories, and we loved having him on. And from time to time, we'd like to bring him and some other special guests to the show. This week, we have just as I like to call us, the Three Musketeers, the Tres Amigos. In the lounge, we have myself, your host, the Cowboy. We have the always combustible, riding high, Keith Schmidt. How you doing, Keith?
What's going on? What's up?
Here we go. Keith was at the bar when I got here, so it should be interesting tonight. And last, but certainly not least, the straw that stirs the drink here on the Sports Lounge, my dad, Cowboy Senior. How you doing, Cowboy Senior?
I'm doing great. I'm ready to go. Yeah, back to the NFL this week. Still on a little bit of a high from last week. Really got me juiced up for college basketball season. It was really great doing that show with John Rook. He was just unbelievable. As enjoyable an experience as I've had on the Sports Lounge, he was fabulous.
Yeah, and to be fair, I think John Rook felt the same way about you, Cowboy Senior. You guys were like old buddies, so we're definitely going to try to get John back on so you can continue your reminiscing, because it's a treat for all of us and definitely for the listeners as well.
As he said after the show to us, Raj, we could have gone on for a long time longer. We could have just kept going with stories back and forth. We both saved a lot of them. So if we have them on again, we could definitely pull a lot of stuff out. For people who are passionate about our PC Friars, they'll really enjoy it.
Absolutely. And so we haven't had the standard Sports Lounge here in a couple of weeks, and just want to give credit where it's due. Because I certainly am one to let Keith know when he's wrong. But on our last episode, he was really on an island, maybe on the biggest island anyone's been on all season, where he picked the lowly, pathetic New York Jets to upend the very hot, record-breaking Pittsburgh Steelers. And what do you know, Keith? They went out and they did it.
With class, baby. With class, they did it.
They did. And
so the Steelers are pretenders, man. They're pretenders. They get hot for a little while. Big Ben had a couple good games, but nah. I don't believe in that team at all.
Well, that makes two of you. We know that.
I was a little disappointed to see that the Steelers released Le'Veon Bell's buddy. I'm sure he's very disappointed about it. LeGarrette Blount, after he walked out during before the game ended and left the team because he was unhappy, because while Le'Veon, his buddy, was rushing for a ridiculous amount of yards, 200 yards, he only got one touch in the game. Because I think, the kind of character that LeGarrette Blount had was an absolute perfect fit in that Steeler locker room. And, you see things like supposedly Ben Tate had been released speak by Cleveland because he said he wasn't willing to share as much as they were asking him to. Certainly, LeGarrette and Le'Veon were willing to share with each other in more ways than one. And I hate seeing a guy of such high character leave the high character Steelers. He was a perfect fit. This could be a mistake. We don't want to break up that chemistry in that locker room.
Thanks, Senior. Thanks for the no sarcasm there, listeners. None whatsoever. But as Le'Veon Bell said today, Le'Veon Bell said about Blount, there's just some things you can't do, and that's certainly something you can't do. And even on the Steelers, who have, you know, they have some guys with some character issues, not even the Steelers would put up with that. So, and Blount, to update everyone, Blount was unclaimed off waivers today. Ben Tate was claimed by the Minnesota Vikings. Could be a good fit for him there, given that Adrian Peterson situation, the NFL coming down with a real iron fist on AP. Can't say I disagree with it. I'm a little surprised by it, given it, I see Rusty Harden's point that it seems like the NFL is kind of making this stuff up as they go along, given how lightly they attempted to go on Rice, and now they're really dropping the hammer on Peterson. But Ben Tate, he's a serviceable back, and they could use him over in Minnesota. What do you guys think about the Peterson thing? You think the NFL's on the right side of this one, or you think they're kind of taking out the backlash from how they handled Rice? They're taking that out on Adrian Peterson?
Well, regardless of what their motivation is, they did a better job than the ridiculous Texas court system, who claimed, and we all saw the pictures, that this was a misdemeanor and the word abuse didn't even go into the charges, that what Peterson did was an abuse. I think that's the most ridiculous thing as anybody who's a parent, I'm a grandparent of a 5-year-old and a 4-year-old, to do that, what he did to a 4-year-old kid, is, as far as I'm concerned, that guy should be in jail. As far as I'm concerned, he's a piece of garbage. And it's too bad that it was in Texas where the ridiculous court system let them get away with it. So at least the NFL stepped in and did something. Again, I don't know if their motivations were pure or if it's a result of the backlash. It probably is, because obviously it seems like the motivation is always money, you know. But anyway, at least somebody did something right in this situation. And not that it helps that poor little kid who's, and his 6 other kids, who knows, they're all traumatized for the rest of their life too. But at least somebody did something to this guy who to me is a monster.
Strong words, Cowboy Senior.
Well deserved.
All right, so
I agree Peterson's a monster, but I still think the NFL is botching this big time. I mean, they've had, 11 weeks to deal with this? What is the penalty? That's what we need to know. What are the penalties? If you beat your wife, what's the penalty? If you get caught drunk driving, you know it's, 4 games, right? So if you're in a domestic violence situation, whether it's your spouse or your children, what is the penalty? Right. They need to outline this stuff and get it down on record. I mean, right now they're just, I think Goodell is acting like a dictator. I don't agree with it at all.
They created that new policy, Keith, of 6 games for first instance of domestic violence. And the thing that makes the Peterson case a bit of a mess is that, you know, he signed an agreement to go on the commissioner's exempt list. And it was, for him, he's saying it was under the pretense that any time he spent on that list, even though he was getting paid, would be considered time served. And now the NFL saying, well, you're suspended for the rest of the season and you can apply for reinstatement in April. That's not guaranteed. But I'm with you, Keith, on this one, that they need, you know, it probably needs to be collectively bargained, and just, you know, Goodell can't get out of his own way is really what it comes down to. And I mean, it seems like the penalty's arbitrary for Peterson. And I, I, I agree with what Senior said, with some of what Senior said, that, you know, obviously anyone who saw those pictures has to be horrified. And does that mean the guy should never be able to earn a living again? I don't think so. I mean, it's adjudicated through the court system. However you feel about that, it's adjudicated through the court system, and the NFL needs to be consistent, and that's what's been missing is consistency.
There you go. Yep. And to be honest, if that Ray Rice video never surfaces, none of these guys, all three of those guys, Rice, Peterson, and Hardy, are all playing right now.
Oh, absolutely.
This is all because of that Ray Rice video surfaced. Right. He would have got a 2-game suspension and been back week 3. Peterson, he would have got a 4 or 5-game suspension, something like that. But Greg Hardy still be playing. His case isn't even resolved yet.
Right, and Peterson, this whole commissioner's exempt list, no one had ever even heard of.
Right.
So Peterson and Hardy would have played every game so far this season while their cases were pending. That's enough. It's enough talking about the downside of the NFL. Because I mean, as a guy who loves football and a fan, this stuff certainly frustrates me. I'm frustrated with the players for doing what they're doing, and frustrated with the league for the way they handle it. And hopefully, you know, I'm someone who believes in redemption. And, you know, hopefully, but by all accounts, and I mean, I am not justified, but Peterson didn't think he did anything wrong, whether that's his upbringing upbringing or whatever. So hopefully, at the very least, this penalty shows, you know, and that's one of the good things Goodell wrote in his letter to Peterson, is that you seem to think that what you did was okay. And, you know, I'm paraphrasing. Well, it's not okay. And so hopefully Peterson becomes a better parent because of this and can put it behind him. And I certainly love watching the guy play football. I mean, I think any football fan loves watching him play football. And, you know, he deserves a second chance just like anybody else. And hopefully for his kid's sake and for his sake, he can put this behind him and, you know, just concentrate on the game that he loves. But that's not going to be till next year.
Yeah, apparently.
So, all right, so getting to the action. Wanted to start with the hottest team in the NFL right now, and I'm not going to say the New England Patriots, much to the surprise of our listeners who think we're homers. But I think pretty clearly the hottest team in the NFL right now is your Green Bay Packers, coming off back-to-back 50-point performances. This week in particular, beating the Eagles 53-20. The Eagles, as much as we've said, they're kind of pretenders with that record. They're not a bad team. And to dominate them, I thought Rodgers would be able to get a lot of work done against that secondary. Absolutely did. But I kind of expected a shootout. And for the Packers to not only hang 53 on them, but hold that high-powered offense of the Eagles to 20. I mean, really, really, they're playing great on both sides of the ball. And I picked them to win the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year. And after they got waxed by Seattle in the first game, I wasn't feeling good about it. But, I mean, is there a better quarterback right now in the NFL than Aaron Rodgers? And I know there's a Peyton Manning, Tom Brady debate. But I think if you watch the games, I don't know if you can play quarterback better than the way he's playing right now. What do you think, Keith?
I have to agree with you. I mean, the guy is just, it's precision out there. He's got pretty good weapons in Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, and then the run game with Eddie Lacy, and he's just picking teams apart, man. It's amazing to watch. The way he throws the ball on the run, going left or right, the ball gets there quick, on time, rocket passes, and they're so accurate. It's ridiculous. It pains me to say that. Yeah, he's probably the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, and
sure.
I think the thing that separates
Green Bay.
Oh, I'm sorry, Keith.
Well, I was just going to say Green Bay is definitely the hottest team in the NFC, and possibly in all of football. And the good thing is they match up with the Patriots next week, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to get to that. But that if those two teams can both hold serve this week with the – I mean, the pass with Detroit at home and Green Bay going to Minnesota, it's tough to see Green Bay and the Patriots not winning those games, right? If they can hold serve, the fact that those teams – I mean, the Pats and the Packers, it's not they're not teams that play each other all the time. Like, we get Manning Brady once, twice, three times a year. I think it's one of the more highly anticipated – it's going to be one of the more highly anticipated regular season games in a long, long time with the way – I mean, those two – both teams are just killing everybody. I mean, it's – you know, and I mean, both teams are – and they're kind of similar in that, you know, the defenses maybe on paper, you know, the Patriots with the injuries and the Packers, they don't look great, but they're playing pretty well, but – I don't see either one of those defenses stopping one of, either of the offenses. So we could be in for like a real, real shootout in that game. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves because you never know what can happen from week to week. But, you know, I think the thing that separates Rodgers from the Brady and the Mannings, youth a little bit, he's a little younger, and just that mobility, that ability to keep the play alive and throw on the, I mean, on the dead run going the wrong way, as you said, and just he just puts it right on these guys. And, you know, at that, Peyton and Tom were never the most mobile guys. And as they've aged, they've become more statuesque. And, yeah. I mean, you know, if you're talking about just standing back in the pocket and throwing, I mean, give me any one of those three guys and I'm happy. But I think that added dimension, particularly with the Packers' offensive line not always being the greatest offensive line in the league, he needs to be able to extend plays, and he does.
Yeah.
What do you think, Senior?
Well, I mean, I agree that he's a tremendous quarterback. I'm going to play a little devil's advocate on quote. I'm going to show a couple of chinks in the Packers' armor. We're saying they're the hottest team in football. Yeah, for two games at home. They're incredible at home. They're a completely different team on the road. They're undefeated at home. They're 2-3 on the road. Okay, these last two games, home against Chicago, home against Philadelphia, they scored over 50 points. They won at Lambeau. The game before that, they were on the road. They were at New Orleans. They got thrashed 44-23. Okay, game before that, they're at home against the garbage Carolina team. They beat them easily. Game before that, they're at Miami, one of their road wins, 27-24, barely eking it out. Okay, before that, they were home, Minnesota. Game before that, now this is the only road game that they won consistently, at Chicago, 38-17. That's their only real convincing road win. Chicago, who hasn't won a game at home all year. There were the road games. They lost 36-16 to Seattle. They lost 19-7 to Detroit. And lost 44-23 to New Orleans. So they haven't proven to me that they can win on the road against a good team. And right now, they don't hold home field advantage going into the playoffs. Thing is, if you look at the rest of their schedule, they don't really have another difficult road game, unfortunately. They're at Minnesota, at Buffalo, okay, maybe that's fairly tough, and at Tampa Bay. However, they could possibly lose that one home game to the Patriots. That's going to be an interesting game. Unless Arizona loses a few games, they're going to have to get on the road in the playoffs, and clearly they haven't shown that. They haven't shown me anything to tell me that they can play the road, that they can beat a really good team on the road. They haven't demonstrated it yet this season. Again, we're talking about them being red hot. Yeah, two games at home. Red hot. Okay, two games at home. That's it. It's not like they've had this streak of 7 or 8 super games in a row. So I'm not as entirely sold as calling them the hottest team in football right now, as opposed to our home guys, the Patriots. I don't want to be a homer, but I am, who have just won week in, week out, week in, week out. They've done it at home. They just went into a really tough road environment this week at Indy and kicked the living crap out of them. So, to me, that's more impressive than two games where you score 108 points at home where we know nobody goes into Lambeau and beats you. Show me something road and I'll be more sold.
Fair point, Senior. I mean, just,
there's your devil's advocate.
If they can even lock up the two seed, they're not necessarily going to have to go on the road in the playoffs. It's another thing to consider. Arizona with Drew Stanton's probably not a lock for the NFC title game. But that's why they
play
the game.
No, I would say Arizona's probably a lock to make the playoffs, but there's no guarantee they're going to finish the season with the number one seed.
No, and even if they do, Keith, if they
do. I'm sure they still have to play the rest of their division, right, which is pretty good.
Right.
At least one more time apiece. So that could possibly be
Arizona's only played two division games so far. So
yeah, see, so.
But as senior, I mean, even if Arizona, I mean, Arizona has the inside track on the number one seed, right? Then they have 7-0 conference record. You know, that's that helps with the tiebreakers.
Yeah.
But even if they get the number one seed, it doesn't mean that Green Bay has to go to Arizona in the NFC title game. I mean, Arizona could, in theory, knocked off before the NFC title game. But we'll see. I mean, I think the Packers are playing great. I mean, the home road splits are a little concerning. They are for a lot of teams. But it's just, you know, we can look at the stats all we want. I mean, I just watching them play the last 2 weeks, it's tough to think of a team playing better football. Is all it's about and where I was. And
the thing I know,
2 weeks,
they're obviously Green Bay is always going to be a high powered offense, but their defenses seem to get a lot better this week since the New Orleans. And one thing I noticed, they moved Clay Matthews to the middle linebacker spot instead of rushing off the edge. And that shored up the run defense. If you noticed when they played Chicago, Matt Forte, the first game against them, completely lit them up. And then this past week, 2 weeks ago, he didn't. Not at all. Clay Matthews played in the middle, shored up the D. And Morgan Burnett came back. They're free safety. He's a pretty good player, too. So the defense has been a lot better.
Absolutely.
So we'll see.
Absolutely. So I, for one, am hoping the Packers hold serve here this week. It is on the road in Minnesota, but I have trouble seeing anything other than a double-digits Packers win. Senior, you taking the other side of that coin?
No. I said that they're not that good on the road. I said they couldn't be. They haven't proven to me that they could beat a good team on the road. I'm certainly not calling Minnesota a good team. You know, that's what I'm talking about, you know, winning in the playoffs. This isn't anything close to a playoff caliber team. I mean, Minnesota's a bad team. Let's be honest about it. They're a bad team. So, yeah, the Packers should, if they can't beat Minnesota at Minnesota, that would be pretty bad. So, yeah, I do expect them to win that game, absolutely.
See, Keith, I assume you're on the Packers there as well.
Oh, yeah. Green Bay, but double digits easily.
Yeah, so we're pretty much in agreement there. So next team I wanted to take a look at, another team that's hot and maybe flying a little bit under the radar. Maybe not after this week, though. The Chiefs. 24-20 victory over the Seahawks. They're now sitting at 7-3. I believe that's the best running game in football. I think we've said that. The tied with Denver. After Denver. We'll get to Denver later. I'm sure Senior can't wait for that. But, but I mean, they're doing it with defense and with running and like getting Alex Smith just not turning the ball over. This team's really a throwback, is really what they are. In this new high-flying, spread you out and chuck the ball around NFL, they win games like the old-school team won games. Pound the ball down your throat with a great running back and then get after your quarterback and make his life miserable. So I thought they were going to beat the Seahawks because the Seahawks are not the team they were last year, and they're not very good on the road, as is well chronicled. But the way they did it, I thought was really impressive. The way Charles just ran all over Seattle. Like, yeah, I mean, it was brutal, and the defense played great. So, Senior, you think these Chiefs are for real? Do you think they're maybe going to win that division?
Yes, I like the good old-fashioned physical team. The streak that they're on is very impressive. The 5 wins in a row where they've gone on the road and beaten San Diego and Buffalo. They've won at home against a good team like Seattle. I mean, in fact, in their last 8 games, they've only lost one, and that was a quite a while ago, and it was a tough 22-17 loss at San Francisco. Yeah, I like this team a lot. I like the solid. They're also built for the playoffs with that physical style. They got a solid defense, great running game. Alex Smith won't lose the game for you. Maybe San Francisco kept the wrong quarterback. I mean, I'm sure that a lot of people are thinking that now. And I like the way they're set up for the rest of the season. The next couple of weeks, I'll make a prediction 2 weeks in advance. Okay, obviously we see them winning at Oakland tomorrow night. And then they get all those extra days to prepare for the Sunday night game with Denver going into Kansas City. Denver looking a little vulnerable right now. And, you know, as a Patriot fan, we probably might be rooting for Denver in that game because the Patriots have a loss to Kansas City on their schedule with the home field thing, with the Pats with a tough schedule the rest of the way. No, I don't see Denver beating the Pats out because we have the advantage over them with a win over them if we would end out tied. So it's kind of be in the odd spot of rooting for Denver, which I probably can't do anyway, but I'm going to predict now Kansas City handles them at home by 2 touchdowns.
Whoa.
We'll see how you feel next week.
And this just lays out for Kansas City playing the Thursday night before and playing at home and Denver being dinged up. Who knows what kind of condition they're going to come into that game in. You know, they're playing a tough defensive team this week in Miami. Even though they're home, they're probably going to get banged around a little bit. I'll predict it 2 weeks early. And okay, double-digit win for Kansas City over Denver a week from Sunday night. There it is. You heard it here first.
I mean, that's really first. We'll have another show before then, folks, so we can break that game down for you a little further. But Senior letting the hate go through there. But I'm
hoping they don't let down this week against Oakland.
I mean,
tomorrow
even
night.
Even if they do, are you thinking of you thinking crazy over there, Keith?
No, not that crazy. You know, I want to pick Oakland, but, I mean, I watched some of them, their game last week. They are fucking terrible.
Latavius Murray, Latavius Murray, he's finally getting his chance.
The Raider defense is not playing bad. They're keeping them in games. Their offense is pathetic. The offense just can't score.
Putrid. Unbelievable. And to think, 2 weeks ago, I was counting the other top.
You know, defensively, wow. They really do look pretty good. Even the games that they've given up quite a few points in, it's because of turnovers by the offense. But that defense has kept them in games. They kept them in that game last week. You know?
Divisional rivalry? You never know, guys. You never know. It's
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, short week coming in. You know, it is at Oakland.
I just respect the Chiefs too much. You know, I think a physical team like that doesn't lay an egg. You know what I mean? Plus variables, they don't lay an egg. I think Jamal Charles has, like I heard today, his last 2 games against the Raiders, he has 7 touchdowns.
I mean, yeah, Senior, I think
they're just going to do what they do, and they'll shut down that Oakland offense.
Yeah, Senior, I don't know if you remember toward the end of last season, he played against the Raiders, and I think it was how many touchdowns did he score in that game, Keith? Was it 4 or 5?
4 or 5, I think.
You remember that game, Senior?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. That's one of the better performances by a running back I've seen in a long time. And I was really rooting Jamal on that day, and I know you were too, Senior. So, the Raiders could make it interesting. I mean, the one thing working in their favor is that the Chiefs generally are not a high-flying, score 40-something points on you kind of offense. So if the Raiders' defense can keep them in the game and keep it close, you never know. Right, you never know what can happen, but I find it difficult to see.
Yeah, you know what? The craziest stat with this team, they don't have a single passing touchdown to a wide receiver this year. Not one.
You think that they've also not given up a rushing touchdown all season?
Yeah, right. And you know, I mean, that's a testament. They just played, you know, one of the best rushing teams in the league, right?
Oh, and they kept on throwing that graphic up while Lynch was getting stuffed at the one. I mean, I think they're hanging their hat on that one. I mean, that's impressive. But both stats just show you the kind of team that they are. That, you know, one, the defense just stonewalling the running game. They run and they don't let you run on them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good formula. It really is. They're an impressive team.
And you never know what can happen with injuries. There's a number of weeks left in the season. But given the way things are right now and the way the Patriots are playing, you have to consider the Patriots the big dog in the AFC, the team everybody's looking up at. But the Chiefs match up really, really well to the Patriots. And as a Pats fan, or just as an analyst, if I'm the Patriots, I want no part of the Chiefs in the playoffs. Give me anybody else. I want no part of the Chiefs.
There's a good chance you'll see them, but you better keep winning. And because if you do get them, you certainly don't want to be going there. You certainly want it to be on your home field. You don't want it to be at that zoo, which goes and breaks the sound record the noise record that Seattle sets. You know. It's going to be hard enough beating them, but it'll be a lot, you'll feel a lot better about it if you're the Patriots playing in Foxborough.
Mm. And you know, it's
season games ultra important, no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
The strength of the Chiefs is the run game. The strength of the Patriots defense is actually the secondary. So that is, you're right, that's probably the worst matchup they could face. Thanks. Because it doesn't matter if you have two shutdown corners, they don't throw the ball. You know? So those guys are fucking useless.
Yeah, I know the Patriots were not playing as well as they are now, but if you think back to the Monday night game earlier in the year, the Chiefs ran all over them. I mean, really ran all over them. Like, you can still picture these 8-9 minute drives keeping Brady off the field, and it's... You know, it's like a lot of things, the NFL is just about matchups. Like, I don't think the Colts are a bad team, but going into that game, like I said, I don't think the Colts have a chance to win. They're an awful matchup for the Patriots. The Patriots are an awful matchup for them. Because, as you said, Keith, you need to be able to run the ball. And with Big T Rich leading the way, the Colts gave up on the run about 4 minutes into the game. And, So, Keith, you know, he's probably not going to get to 1,200, but with Bradshaw's injury, somehow, some way, Trent Richardson has another chance to be a feature back in the NFL. So the question here is, does he grab it this time and take that ball and run with it and maybe average 4 yards a carry? Or is he supplanted after 2 or 3 weeks by the immortal Boom Heron? I'm going with the latter. I'm going with the latter. Boom Heron.
Within four weeks, Boom Heron will have more rushing yards than Trent Richardson this season.
Here's the thing, you know, what an opportunity for Richardson. Not only does Bradshaw go down, where let's face it, they're going to give him the chance to really be the guy, but here's the rest of the schedule: Jacksonville, Washington, Cleveland, Houston, Dallas, okay, and Tennessee. I mean, you're not going to get a sweeter schedule, a nicer group of defenses to go against. And I agree with Keith and you that, yes, Boom Heron will be the feature back, maybe before the Jacksonville game's over this week.
You look at Donald Brown. It's very similar to last year, right? Donald Brown supplanted Richardson as the lead dog, and Donald Brown parlayed that into a pretty good contract with the Chargers, who came to realize that he was still actually Donald Brown and not a very good running back. And I mean, Bradshaw at this point, is Bradshaw really a good running back at this point? I mean, before the injury, I think you could throw almost anybody back there, literally almost anybody, just slightly below average NFL running back, and they're going to average 4.5 or 5 yards a carry because the defense is so worried about luck, right? Kind of the
well, Bradshaw averaged 4.7, Richardson's averaging 3.4, and he's got 25 more carries than Bradshaw, and Bradshaw has 30 more yards than him.
Right. What I'm saying
on the ground.
Keith, is
I think Bradshaw is his pass protection is far superior, and he catches the ball out of the backfield. One of the best receiving backs in the league, I would say. But they're going to miss that now. Now, Trent Richardson can actually catch the ball as well out of the backfield. I don't think he's going to have the yak that Bradshaw had, though. That's the thing. He catches the ball, and he can't break tackles.
So my point, Keith, is that Bradshaw 4.7, do you think that's an accurate representation of what Bradshaw is? Like, let's say we put Bradshaw on the Houston Texans. That's a good running team, right? Do you think he's average? I don't think he's averaging 4.7 yards a carry, or maybe the Cleveland Browns, something like that, right? My point is that Richardson is I think he's the worst running back in the league who actually gets touches. That,
yeah,
you could take, let's say you put Alfred Blue on Indianapolis, okay? Run of the mill, I would say he's about a league average back. And I think he gets the 4.7 yards a carry that Bradshaw got. Now, I think if you take Richardson and put him on the Texans, he still averages 3 yards a carry. I think he's just the guy. He's like a combination of no burst and no vision. It's amazing considering how, you know, if you remember him at Alabama, he was an absolute beast. It's just I have no idea what happened to him. it's ugly.
Here's the thing. If Trent Richardson would have gotten drafted in like the fifth or sixth round, he wouldn't be in the NFL right now. He'd be out of the league. The only reason he's in the league is, you know, this guy's a first round pick. This guy was that beast at Alabama. That's what people are seeing. Eventually, you know, and it's embarrassing to just release the guy after you traded for him. But
a first round pick.
Yeah, but you know, I think you got to take the embarrassment. You know, I think if our boy Barrett wouldn't have like walked off and would have, you know, didn't have that stigma on him right now, he would have already been signed by Indy.
Indy
averaged 4 or 5 yards a carry there. He's a good downhill runner, you know. He takes what you give him. He finishes runs well, you know. He's got some power. He would do fine over there.
Yeah, and Indy was supposedly in.
Is a bad actor right now.
Indy was in on Tate. That if Minnesota didn't claim Tate, Indy was going to claim Ben Tate.
So, yeah, and that wasn't to play the Ahmad Bradshaw role of being the guy that, you know, plays behind Richardson and is a better blitz pickup guy and a better pass receiver. That would have been to be the lead back, I would think.
So this is a good segue for a little segment we're going to do here. So on the last episode of The Lounge where we covered football, we gave you our MVP and defensive or MVP and offensive or defensive player of the year. Tonight, special treat for the listeners. We're going to give out the first annual Trent Richardson Least Valuable Player in the NFL Award. But it can't be Trent, okay? So because the expectations were so low, and that's that feeds into this. So what I want from you guys is your least valuable player. So the guy who was the most highly touted coming in, who has disappointed, not due to injury, just due to poor play. So I'm going to start with you, Senior.
Okay. You know, I haven't had any. This is like without warning. I haven't had time to think about it. And if I thought, maybe I'd come up with somebody else. But right off the cuff, the first guy that popped into my head and he might have won this award in other seasons too, but again, you always think it every year. Oh, look at what he's got around him, and look at that talent. He's got all the talent. You know, he's going to harness it. And they gave him that huge contract, and he's just sucked the place out again. I'm going to go with Jay Cutler. Yes, I know you might have thought I was going to say Eli, which that would have been.
I thought you were going to say Eli.
But I'm throwing you guys a curveball here and saying Cutler. You know, I mean, really, I mean, the guy has arguably the best arm in the NFL. He moves around pretty well. He's got an unbelievable group of skilled players around him, two great wideouts, a good tight end, a great running back. and he just doesn't get it done. He just doesn't. He has a game every once in a while where he teases you, but, I mean, his performance this season, let's face it, hasn't been good at all when you consider everything he has around him. He's been bad, and it's, you can't say he's, and especially with the contract they gave him, I mean, that's just a huge, the guy's just a huge disappointment. There's no other way to put it. And you still don't give up on him, you know. You think, oh, you know, they'll be saying it in the offseason this year, next year again. You know, maybe Jay will get it done this year. Maybe he'll harness that talent. I mean, how many years are we going to say that, you know? So, yeah, I'm giving my Trent Richardson Award to Jay Cutler.
All right, senior. At least, and I mean, obviously what the team's done has something to do with that. Cutler's numbers in a vacuum are not that bad. A lot of turnovers, but I can see that. And that team has certainly underperformed expectations. And then he doesn't appear to be the world's greatest teammate.
So especially as a quarterback, he's not a leader at all, you know. So, yeah, you know, it's just you look and you see so much in him. You see that you think that he could be so good. And they put everything around him to make him successful. And you look at the tools that he has, you know, his physical tools, and you say, this guy could be up there with the great quarterbacks in the league. We could be, you know, talking about him the way we talk about Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. And my God, I mean, he just doesn't even come close to achieving what his physical ability with the players around him should achieve. I mean, just a huge disappointment. Every year you think he's going to mature or something. I don't know if it's immaturity. I don't know what it is, but he is who he is, I think. And, you know, maybe these people should stop being disappointed with him. But, again, he's a huge disappointment this year.
Yeah, I mean, if you read Bill Simmons, he always compares him to the modern-day Jeff George, and I think it's a perfect comparison. Golden arm, yeah. But it just never translates to over a 500 record, unfortunately. All right, Keith, you're up, buddy. Trent Richardson, least valuable player award goes to.
Yeah, I got co-suck bags. Eli Manning and Bobby Griffin III.
Both in the same
both
division.
Suck bags. Yep, they are. Eli, new offense, new receivers. He lost his best receiver, but still no excuse to throw 5 interceptions in a game. Robert Griffin, I mean, I don't know what's going on with this kid. I mean, he had a fantastic rookie season. Then he lost, you know, most of the last year. He got hurt again this year. But, you know, I think what's pissing me off about him is the stupid comments he made this past week, throwing his team under the bus. I think that might have something to do with me giving him the suck bag award here.
They were taken a little bit out of context. He did take
the blame.
He took the blame on himself first, and then said the stuff about the team. You know, no great quarterback's going to look great if the guys around him aren't playing great. And if it was another guy saying it, it would have not even gotten a big deal. But given his history of kind of being me first, and, you know, it was off-putting. And DeSean Jackson put something up on Twitter that made it clear he wasn't real happy about it. And, yeah, I'm with you. Eli, I didn't have real high expectations for Eli. So, I mean, he's still performing down to probably the lowest of the low. But Griffin, I think you can only blame so much on the injuries. I don't know if it's the injuries or he's not there mentally anymore. And it's so obvious he's not the same guy, and it's not physical because he's running around now, but he's not the same guy that he was his rookie year when he was taking the league by storm and, you know, not caring. You can tell he's thinking out there and he's pressing, and he's not a good fit for that offense. And I think a lot of it has to do with, he put in such an immense amount of pressure on himself at the beginning of his career by making things about him. You know, you see a guy like Andrew Luck, right, who's got it all over Griffin. He doesn't make it about him ever. And if he does, he does it behind the scenes. Like they say, Peyton Manning basically runs that organization, but you don't hear it. right? Griffin's out in the media. His father's out in the media. And he was just an immature kid who put the weight of the world on his own shoulders when he didn't even have to. And he needs to. I think he's still salvageable, but it's not in Washington. I think if I were them, I would bench him and move on. It's time to move on because he's never going to do it there.
I personally think Jay Gruden wants to bench him. I don't think he wanted to start him to begin with. Colt McCoy was the quarterback when they beat the Cowboys on that Monday night game. 25 of 30, 300 yards. Beats the high-flying Cowboys, and then the following week, back to the bench you go. And that was, in my opinion, Daniel Snyder saying, hey, he's healthy, he plays.
Well, they're treating him like a Cadillac quarterback, and he's just not now, you know? He's just not. And that, to your point, Keith, that after that game, they were 3-5, which is not out of contention, right? You're still nope. early. You still got time. Now they're 3-7, and they're done. And so, you know, I would still bench him just so it's clear that he's done in Washington. He really needs to move on. I think the more he plays, the less trade value he has. I hate to say that. I mean, but every week that he goes out there and, you know, I mean, he just looks lost. And, I mean, even Gruden said it after the game. He mentioned a number of different misreads and, you know, bad footwork and all this stuff.
Bad footwork, yeah.
I mean, the kid's got a ton of natural talent, and maybe he could put it together somewhere else, kind of like a post-type sleeper. But, you know, he needs to get out of his head. He shouldn't mention the names Brady and Manning and Rodgers.
No.
He's not even close. He sounded like a
spoiled child in that press conference. That's what it sounded like to me.
I mean, he's not even like a Kaepernick. Like, I mean, he shouldn't mention his name. He's more of the Eli Manning, you know, marginal starter kind of guy. That's what he is right now.
And it's too bad because he has talent around him. You know, they have a decent running game with Morris and Helu.
I think it's better than decent.
Two good tight ends, right? Yeah, it's actually a pretty good running game, right? And if he could ever run again the way he did, you got two good tight ends, Niles Paul and Jordan Reed. You get two really good receivers, Garcon and DeSean Jackson. I mean, there's no excuse there.
Right.
Look what Colt McCoy did. You know?
If you look weapons-wise, I mean, there aren't a lot of teams that have the weapons that team does.
I mean, right.
I mean, Morris is I think, one of the better traditional running backs in the league. I mean, there's not too many. I mean, he's not great coming out of the backfield. But, I mean, if you want a guy to, you know, Terrell Davis or, you know, Bettis, whatever. Bigger guy running between the tackles. Yeah. I mean, he's a dynamic. I mean, he really is.
Yeah.
And Helu makes up for the fact that Morris can't catch the ball by being, I mean, he might be the best third down back in the league. Yeah. And then, Jackson, I mean, Garcon literally just doesn't get the ball anymore. I mean, it's ridiculous. And Jackson, I mean, Jackson's a great receiver. And so I think Garcon's a great receiver, too. So it's just a good call, Keith. All right. So for me, the T-Rich LVP, and it kills me to say this. I was going to say it, you guys, and the three guys you picked did not steal my thunder. It kills me to say this because I love the guy, but to me, it's got to be Cam Newton. Has to be Cam Newton.
I like that one.
That team, and you can hang some of it on the defense, right? The defense isn't what it was, but they're in the worst division in recent memory in the NFL.
Yep.
And they were good last year, and he was good last year, and he's been. But right, you know, they were saying at the beginning of the year he's making progress as a passer. You have to watch the games, right? Because if you look at his line from Sunday, you look at the line, 23 for 37, 292 yards and 2 touchdowns. That looks like a good game, right?
Yeah.
Now,
it was only a good fourth quarter.
Yeah, if you actually watch the game, he was the worst player on the field until about 8 minutes left in the game, and then he turned it on. Same exact thing the week before against Philly. You know, again, he ended out with over 300 yards, a few touchdowns, but he played terrible. And for a kid, I mean, he's got all the talent in the world. He's got everything you would want. He's big, he's fast, he's got a big arm, and he just hasn't figured out the accuracy thing. And I think the hits are starting to get to him a little bit. I mean, if you saw, I'm sure you've seen the stats with he's taken more hits, like five times more hits than any quarterback over the last 2 years. But, you know, if you would have told me coming in that all the Panthers would have to be is 5-5 to be winning that division, I would have said it was a mortal lock. And he's got the talent. He's the dynamic kind of talent that, at the quarterback position, that regardless of what's around him, his team should never be worse than 8-8. And he's just not doing it this year. Senior, you agree with that one?
Oh, yeah. I think he's played awful the times I've seen him. And the big word that you said was accuracy. You know, it's hard to play quarterback in the NFL without accuracy. And he's having all kinds of problems with accuracy, and it seems to be getting worse. But also, okay, You know, I don't think real highly of the guy, but I'm gonna make a little excuse for him. You know, they were expected to be a team that could play a little closer to the vest, that didn't have to be wide open, because we thought they had a good defense going in. Everybody did. Their defense has given up the most points of any team in the NFL. They've given up 300 points. So every game, he's being asked to do a lot to try and bring them back. They're constantly falling behind, which, you know, that it's just making it harder on him, and the whole thing snowballed on him. But definitely, his accuracy is a problem. You know, he's definitely a talented running. You know, he's a big, strong guy. Probably, as good a running quarterback as you're going to be, and he certainly has the strong arm. And you know, he's got some decent guys to throw the ball to. You know, he's got that rookie Benjamin, who's a nice big target, which could help with a guy who's having trouble with accuracy. But I told you a couple of weeks ago, I watched that game, and he was throwing the ball 10 feet over his head. So, yeah, it's been bad for Cam Newton. But, again, a big part of that team's problems, you've got to hang on their defense, too, in all fairness to Cam. I mean, it was supposed to be a good defense, and it's turned into, you could argue, you could make a case. I mean, if you're going to go by points, which is the most important statistic is points, the worst defense in the NFL. They've been giving up 10 more points than the Bears. I mean, it's just absolutely horrible. So
agreed.
They're only one game out of first place.
Agreed.
That's so sad.
So this week, they played the Falcons, not a terrible offense, and held them to 19.
Yeah,
not a terribly high score. The fact that Cam could only generate 3 points of offense against the Falcons defense, who, if the Falcons, at least for me, the Falcons or the Bears are the two worst defenses in the NFL. I mean, that's just how I feel, just from watching them. I mean, the fact that the Panthers could only score 3 at home in the first 3 quarters, that has to be an indictment on Newton. It has to be.
It's reaching the all-time low. I agree. You know, they hit rock bottom there. Who's going to win that crazy division? That's an interesting segue. Who's going to win that division?
I think the Saints are going to win it just based on blind faith. They have 3 more games at home. If they can win those 3, they could get to 7-9, which will probably do it.
You know, it's an interesting game this week. You know, again, we're segueing, looking into teams in that division. And so this would be an upset pick I would pick this week. In a high-scoring game, kind of a shootout, Tampa Bay goes into Chicago and beats the Bears. I can totally
see. I agree with Senior.
The way Mike Evans is playing, the way that Tampa offense is looking pretty good. As bad as the Bears D is, and the way the Bears can't win at home. You know, they're 1-3 at home this year. I don't see either team being able to stop the other much. It's, you know, high scoring game, and Cutler finds a way to screw it up. Plus, Tampa's going, you know, there's some drama there. Tampa's going in with guys with all kinds of incentive, you know, Lovie Smith and McCollum playing quarterback. Man, you released me and you kept your big arm bum and gave all the money to. Well, I'll show you guys, you know. So for a game that doesn't look like that attractive a game, I think it's going to be a fun game to watch because there's going to be a lot of offense. And I picked Tampa to win in a close game. They go nip and tuck. They trade scores all game long. and then Cutler throws a couple of key picks or something in the fourth quarter and screws it up somehow.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, Senior. I think it's a close game with a lot of offense. I like the Bears. I have a lot of trouble seeing Tampa going on the road and winning two in a row. But McCown is finally, you know, the 7 weeks or so, whatever it was on the bench, seems to have done him some good because he's playing like the McCown we kind of expected coming into the season. The Buccaneers' pass defense is really, really bad, and it's in Chicago. So is
the Bears.
Even with Cutler, you know, I think Cutler's going to throw all over them. But I certainly could see your scenario. But I like the Bears in a tight 31-24-ish kind of game. Who do you like there, Keith? You're the deal breaker, the tiebreaker.
I'm with Senior on this. I think this is the Lovie Smith Bowl. I mean, Tampa's obviously way – well, actually, they're still not – technically, they're still in it.
They're only two games back.
But I think Lovey wants this one bad. I think Lovey wants this one real bad. And Chicago, for whatever reason, they suck at home. I think they've only won one game at home, and that was last week.
So Tampa...
first home win, yeah.
Tampa is closer to the lead in their division than the Seahawks or the 49ers are, just so you know.
And here's the other interesting stat where we said the Bears have only... won one game at home. Both of Tampa's wins have been on the road. They're almost a 500 team on the road. They're 2-3 on the road and 0-5 at home. It's all convoluted. So look at all that and you say it's to Tampa's advantage that game's being played in Chicago.
It's a bit of a small sample size to say it's to their advantage that it's in Chicago. But you can twist those stats however you want, though, Senior. That's what you do.
They are what they are. It's black and white.
All right, guys. Great first half. I love the T-Rich Least Valuable Player Award. I came up with that on the fly, listeners, and I'm going to toot my own horn on that one because I think that's
I like it.
That's a great name. And then maybe later we'll do the Ryan Fitzpatrick Worst Quarterback in the NFL Award, Keith.
You can't pick Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? Come on.
as always. We here at Place to Be Nation, we're running a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of great content on the website. I'd like to draw your attention to a contest we're running now, a tournament, Best Song of the 90s tournament. We're putting out 10 songs. We're drawing from a pool of 640 90s songs drafted up by all your favorite PTBNers. And we're putting out 10 songs a day. You get to vote on 5 of them. The 5 that get the most votes move on until we whittle it down to a manageable bracket, at which point it'll be head-to-head. But it's really a lot of fun. It's made me go back. I'm tuning into 90s on 9 on Sirius like it's going out of style. Each song on there has the YouTube video. So if you see the title and you're not sure, please watch the YouTube video. In particular... Next, Too Close, which is the You're Making It Hard For Me song from the 90s. I'm sure, Keith, you know that song. Senior absolutely doesn't know the song. Keith and I probably both have a few not-safe-for-work type stories associated with that song. Well, I think a lot of people don't know that. Don't know maybe the name of the song, because somehow, Keith, in a pool of 90s songs with 10 songs, that song is 10th right now. Isn't that ridiculous?
That is ridiculous.
It's a joke. It's an absolute...
How is that happening?
Right, exactly. Because people aren't watching the YouTube videos, and they see names like MC Hammer, and that's the name they know. It's sad. So please get on there and vote for Next, Too Close. If you also have not safe for work experiences associated with that song from your youth. So we're going to take a quick break here on the lounge. We'll be back in a jiff. Enjoy the break. Place to Be Nation, we have... multiple other podcasts, a lot of them devoted to wrestling. We have pop culture. We have a couple of other sports podcasts. We have our sister podcast here at Place to Be Nation, which is the Extra Point, hosted by my man Scott Criscolo and Dr. G. George Robolino. And we have a new one, which is the NBA A-Team with Andrew Reich, which is fantastic if you're a basketball fan. So... check those out, and we'll be back after the break. So just for a short while here, Cowboy is out. Yeah,
touch of gray.
Consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant.
Sorry.
The Titans of Wrestling are.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the big four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on placetobenation.com.
In Rhode Island, and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Richard and the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richard and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
I wonder if she could tell I'm hard right now. Yeah, come on, dance for me, baby. Yeah. Uh-oh, you feel like? All right. Come on, don't stop now. You done did it. Come on, yeah. All right. Hold up.
Baby, we're crying.
That's right.
I get so excited.
Almost like we're sexing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, boo, I like it. No, I can't deny it. But I know you can tell I'm excited. Oh girl,
step back, you're dancing kind of close. I feel a little boom coming through on you.
Now girl, I know you felt it. But boo, you know I can't help it. You know
welcome back to the Sports Lounge, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the break. We certainly enjoyed our break here in the lounge, as we always do. Ladies are looking good. Cigar smoke thick. I'm going to light up another stogie. How about you, Keith?
I already got it lit.
That's what I like to hear, my friend. That's what I like to hear. Senior, you're a little old for the stogies.
Yeah. I'm sitting in a cloud with you two guys here. That's bad enough.
Hey. We're here for you. We're here for you, Senior. So, yeah, that next song that you just heard from the break, please go on and vote for it. Feeling a little poke come through on you. You know, it's just brings me back, man. But, all right, guys. So, wanted to start things off here with a talk about the mighty Denver Broncos and what the heck happened. Denver, for anyone who lives under a rock, Denver went into St. Louis and just got their asses handed to them. 22-7. Wasn't even really that close, frankly. Injuries, Monty Ball, Julius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders all left the game. And Peyton Manning's a great quarterback. I don't take anything away from Peyton Manning, but he didn't quite look like the same guy without those weapons, did he, Keith?
No, he did not. And it didn't help that St. Louis was in his face the entire time.
They made him move his feet, and Peyton's not the same when you get him off his spot. If he can't get rid of that ball real quick and he has to hold it, he's beatable. He becomes human after that. And like you said, once Julius Thomas, I mean, that was a big hit. Jacob Tammy stepped in, and he didn't look too good at all. And then once Emmanuel Sanders left, that was it. It was all done after that because they just rolled all the coverage to Demaryius Thomas. Wes Welker's not the same anymore, and they couldn't move the ball.
Yeah,
Peyton threw two picks.
Yeah, and one of those picks was him forcing it into triple coverage on Thomas.
Yep.
If I saw that play today, I was watching something on the NFL Network, and they isolated on that play, and the other three receivers were wide open, but Peyton was under pressure, and he made the wrong decision. You know, what they did in that game with that pass rush, even when they didn't sack him, was they hit him. They hit Peyton a lot. They beat him up. And, you know, no quarterback's going to play as well. Usually that line takes really good care of Peyton. As good as he is, there's no quarterback that's going to play as well when he's really getting banged around. And he got banged around in that game. It was a great job by that St. Louis pass rush. Superb. I mean, the coverage was good, too. They made good plays out there, but I mean, I think that was the key to that win, you know, holding them to 7 points, so impressive. But the key to it was that pass rush. They really kept picking up. That's the key to, any of them. You name any great quarterback, you know, some can escape a little. But if you're constantly getting hit back there, your decision-making isn't going to be as good. There's no way. Decision-making wasn't as good. His accuracy wasn't as good as usual. Because he was getting beat up. Great job by the Rams. All the credit in the world to that Rams pass rush.
So what do you think, guys? Do you think this is kind of an anomaly for Denver or the start of something bigger? Assuming these guys come back fairly soon, which they should. I mean, it looks like Thomas is if they're both iffy. Thomas and Sanders are both iffy this week. Looks like more better chance that Thomas plays than Sanders. But, I mean, they looked pretty close to invincible earlier in the year. And they have not, even in the games they're winning, they've not looked quite like that juggernaut. They've looked more like that team from the Super Bowl. And I that's what this game reminded me of, was that St. Louis did to them exactly what Seattle did to them. Put pressure on Manning, beat up the receivers to the point that you knock them out of the game. And yep. they dared him to throw deep, and he hit the one touchdown was a deep throw to Sanders, but they took away that underneath stuff, and that's really the blueprint against Denver. And not every team, I think to Senior's point, I think it takes a team that can put consistent pressure on without blitzing. That's the big key, because yep. Manning eats up blitzes. But if you can put consistent pressure on with your front four, that's a big problem for Denver. A big, big problem. Yep. And with that said, they're playing Miami. I mean, it's in Denver. They're playing Miami this week. It's a team with a hell of a pass rush. Senior, do you think we could see a kind of a repeat performance here? Do you think Peyton rights the ship and makes us forget this game ever happened?
It's going to be a real interesting game. You know, it is in Denver, which, you know, is a difference. This one was on the road last week, but yeah, we say the St. Louis pass rush played well, but certainly the Miami pass rush is capable of doing the same thing. In fact, we know that Miami's been playing very well, and it's mostly defensively. Their formula is, you know, they have a great pass rush. They play really good defense. On offense, they run the ball fairly effectively, and their quarterback isn't making mistakes. He's just, you know, he's not doing anything great, but he's playing nice, efficient football, completing a high percentage of passes, not giving the other team a lot of extra chances. Sounds like the kind of formula that could give Denver some trouble. This is going to be a telling game for the Broncos. Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if they lose this game. This game I'm going to want to watch. It's going to be a really interesting game. And obviously, I'd love to see the Dolphins beat Peyton up some more and have him have another bad game and all of a sudden put them on a two-game losing streak heading into Kansas City the week after. Oh, man, things would be looking pretty grim in Denver. So this is a huge game for the Broncos. They can't afford to stub their toe here. And Yeah, let's face it, Miami's got the goods to do to them. To take that same formula that St. Louis had against them and apply it. No doubt about it. So, you know, if you held a gun to my head, I would say I'd have to, and told me I had to pick a winner, I would pick Denver, but I would not be surprised at all if Miami upset them. Miami definitely has the kind of team that can do it. So I'm going to say I'd pick Denver to win if I had to, but, oh, man, you know, it's kind of a wishy-washy statement, I guess, that I wouldn't be surprised if Miami wins. I'm not going to go as far as to pick Miami to win it, but I'm going to tell you that it would not be any great surprise at all. It wouldn't be a huge upset if Miami wins this game. Yeah. Let me put it this way. If this game was in Miami, I would be picking Miami to win. The only reason I'm saying I pick Denver to win the game is because it's in Denver. I think the game's the flip of a coin, so you go with the home team.
I like Denver close in this one, too, and it's not because I think the offense is going to have all sorts of trouble. All sorts of trouble. I think I picked Denver in this game because of their defense. I mean, if you look at the game against the Rams, they gave up that huge play to Britt and fell behind, and then the Rams didn't do too much on offense. They basically, you know, just kind of tried to work the clock the whole second half. They were able to get some things done rushing. But I see this as like a 17-13 type of win for Denver, where Peyton will be able to do just enough. But I think Denver will be able to pretty well shut down Miami. So I'm going to pick Denver based on the strength of their D. What do you think, Keith?
I'm a little more confident in Denver this week. This is their first game at home in a month. They get a little home cooking coming here. If Sanders and Thomas don't play, you know, they both left the game, you know, game plan, you know, they had to make adjustments on the fly. They have a whole week to prepare with them or without them. I don't, like you said, Denver's D, I think, can handle Miami. Denver's pretty good against the run, number one, and their only real threat is Mike Wallace, and I think Aqib Talib can pretty much take him out of the game. I see this like 27-13. I think they'll handle him pretty easily. I know Miami can rush the passer, but you're on the road, so, you know, when you're at home, you have that extra second. You know what I'm saying? You get the crowd noise, it's silent count. When you're on the road, you don't have that benefit there. So I think Denver will they're going to right the ship this week. They're going to take care of Miami.
And I think it's, you know, I like that you mentioned Wallace, because I think he's a big key. Because I think what Britt did was huge in that game. If Miami can hit a big play or two against Denver, that's their best shot. That's their best shot to win the game, I think. And Wallace certainly as capable of it as anyone in the league of hitting, you know, Talib can play perfect coverage for 19 plays and then he gives up one step and that guy's the fastest receiver in the NFL. You know, I mean, he's certainly capable of the 80-yard touchdown. So let's see, it's going to be a real interesting one. Miami is playing great. I mean, they're another team, I think, that matches up pretty well to the Patriots. They have that same kind of formula as Kansas City. Maybe a little bit of a better pass rush, but not as good offensively to keep the high-flying offense off the field. You guys agree with that?
Yeah, no, they're not as good as offensively as Kansas City.
Right. But, yeah, especially at what they do.
Defense might be a little better than Kansas City, though they do have a really good defense. Miami's defense is really playing well right now.
Yeah.
I mean, for quite a few weeks in a row, this defense has been excellent, absolutely excellent for the last 5 or 6 weeks straight. You know, they're just not giving up points. You know, teams aren't scoring on them. Hard to beat a team when you don't score on them. I agree they haven't played huge high-flying offenses, but I mean, like, they shut out San Diego. I mean, that's a good offense, you know?
They were a good offense.
Well, it was a good offense.
What happened
to that team?
The loss of Brandon Albert, I think, really hurts Miami, particularly.
Yeah, I thought it was
in this game.
You know, I was saying that was going to kill him last week. You know, I was looking. We didn't have a show last week, but if I would have picked that game, I was honestly going to say Buffalo because of that. You know, because I didn't think Miami would be able to run the ball at all, and I thought Buffalo. You know, with Buffalo's really good front seven, I thought they'd stop the run and be all over Tannehill, but they really miss Albert. The offensive line played pretty well against a good defensive front of that Buffalo had last week. So, you know, maybe they're handling the loss of Albert pretty well. I know he's a really good player, but last week was Exhibit A without him. They passed the test with flying colors last week. So,
yeah, I mean, I like Buffalo's pass rush too, but it's, you know, it's not DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller.
Right. I was just going to say that. It's not Miller and Ware. Nope.
Yeah. I mean, those guys specifically, I think, is where they're really going to feel it. And that Thursday night game, I think it was a very even game. Miami scored touchdowns. Buffalo kicked field goals. And
that was
there's a difference in the game. And, you know, there's something to be said for that. But it's a real interesting matchup. Another very interesting matchup, probably our game of the week here in the NFL, is the 9-1 Arizona Cardinals, led by Drew Stanton. They just keep on chugging along. I mean, Bruce Arians, every week I'm more impressed with this guy and with this team. But they have the toughest assignment, or what's supposed to be the toughest assignment in football, heading to Seattle. They won there last year, which a lot of people don't remember. Palmer threw, I think, 4 picks, but they broke Seattle's home winning streak last year. And I think, I don't have it in front of me, but I think the score was 10-7 or 17-14. A very, very low scoring game. Arizona's defense won it for them. Seattle coming in off a loss on the road at KC. Not a terrible loss. They didn't play awful. Real interesting game. Real, real interesting game. My gut really says Seattle's going to be a little hungrier in this game. The Cardinals at 9-1. I'm not going to say they're not hungry, but they can afford to lose the game. Whereas Seattle, I mean, their playoff life is on the line pretty much with every game here, you know, and in Seattle, with Stanton at quarterback, that's such a tough environment to play in that I don't think they're going to blow him away, but I think it's going to be kind of similar to last year's game with Seattle coming out on top in a 17-14 kind of game. Where do you fall on this one, Keith?
I agree with you. With Seattle being at home, coming off a loss, what's that, 4 losses now for them, so, you know, they're going to start defending their home turf for sure, and get ready for this monster stretch they got coming up. I mean, this is the first of 6 tough games. Arizona, Frisco, Philly, San Fran again, Arizona again, and finish up with St. Louis. They can't afford to punt any games, especially the ones at home, because they still, you know, they got 3 at home and 3 on the road. So I think it's a pretty even matchup, to be honest with you. That both teams have real good defenses. Arizona might have better weapons, but I like Russell Wilson a little better than, especially now with Drew Stanton. Their run games are similar. You know, Ellington's a good back, but I'm gonna give the home team the edge here. I think Arizona's run defense is a little better than Seattle's, but I think it'll even out. I think Seattle will be able to run the ball on Arizona at home.
And if you're Seattle, I know you have a murderer's row coming up, but I'm going to read you off the rest of Arizona's schedule. And if you're Seattle, you got to think you still have a legitimate chance to win this division if you can beat them twice. So it's at Seattle, at Atlanta. That's the easiest game. And anytime you're on the road, Atlanta's a lot better at home. That's not an easy game. Home for Kansas City, at St. Louis, home for Seattle, at San Francisco to close out the season. I mean, that is vicious. That, especially with the way the Rams are playing. I mean, look at those defenses the last 4 weeks of the season that Stanton has to face. Home for KC, at St. Louis, home for Seattle, at San Francisco. You could make a case that those are the 4 best defenses in the NFL. Back to back to back to back. And, you know, Arizona loses this one. And, I mean, would it really surprise you to see them go 2-3 after that, the rest of the way? That puts them at 5 losses. And now Seattle and San Francisco are right back in the mix. So, Arizona's done what they've had to do and more so far. I mean, they've played great, and they're really the story of the NFL this year. But they're gonna it's only getting tougher. What do you think, Senior? What's your take on the Cardinals? Do you think they're a for real 9-1?
You look at this Cardinal team, and then everybody kind of says the same thing, that they don't do anything that really wows you. But you know what? They play solid defense. They don't turn the ball over. They play really well on special teams. Their offense gets enough done, and they win. They just win and win and win. They just do it. They win games. Now I look at the Seattle team and Super Bowl champions from last year, but you know, we got to throw that out now. This is this year. And you start looking back at their last five or six games, and what is really impressive about what Seattle's done? Last they lost at Kansas City. Okay, the week before, this is an impressive win, 38-17 over the Giants in Seattle. I mean, big deal. The game before that, they squeaked by Oakland 30-24. This great defense gave up 24 points to Oakland in Seattle. The week before that, they beat lowly Carolina 13-9. The week before that, they lost to St. Louis. The week before that, they lost to the Cowboys. What have they done that's so impressive? I think they're going to be the team, the defending Super Bowl champion, that doesn't make the playoffs the following year. I mean, it happens, and it's happening to them. And I'm going to, if I have to pick a winner in this game, the only thing that would make me take Seattle, the one thing, is that they're home. After that, if you really look at the records, I mean, Arizona's just a better team than them. I'm going to pick Arizona to keep it rolling. And, yeah, just when the day ends, everybody will say, okay, I don't know what it is, but Arizona won again. I'm picking Arizona to go into Seattle and win this game. They're going to keep winning. I'm out on the island on this one, and I think this is a pretty good team to be out on an island with because they win. They just win, and Seattle is, I think, is just right for the picking. I don't think it's their year. I mean, they're really not. They haven't done anything to show me any different. I'm not that impressed with what they've done so far this year because it's not impressive. Where Arizona, I don't care if they're not wowing you. I don't care if it's not fancy, if it's not high flying, ball flying all over the place, football and all kind of points being scored. It's solid football, well coached, great special teams. Put the whole package together, you win. You know, give Bruce Arians a lot of credit, absolutely, but give the guys on the field a lot of credit, too. I mean, his approach is so sobering, too. You know, when Palmer went down, what he said and what he's been saying, we don't change our game plan. We don't do anything different. This guy's our backup quarterback for a reason. He's a veteran. He's not some guy fresh off the block. We just keep doing everything the same way. It's in his hands. Everybody on that team has as much faith in him as they have in Carson. And I think the guys buy into it. It's a great approach. You know, they're playing with a lot of confidence for good reason. They just win every week. So I'm going with the Cardinals.
So, Senior, you said they don't wow you. I'll tell you what did wow me was what their defense did this week. So
yep. Shutting down Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, Calvin got a decent game. Five catches, he had 12 targets. But, I mean, not just Calvin Johnson. So that, and we've talked about this on here before, Detroit's offensive numbers on the season may not wow you, but when Calvin Johnson is healthy, that is a top-tier offense. That is a top-tier offense in the NFL. Either he gets his, or coverage is shaded to him so much, the other guys get theirs, and they're not, and they put up points. And to hold that team to two field goals with nothing, literally nothing, in the second half was super-duper impressive to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I that wowed me because there's not a lot of defenses that are going to do that to Detroit. Nope. And I'll tell you, the Patriots, I highly doubt the Patriots do anything resembling that to Detroit this week. I mean, I think kind of what the Colts did against the Pats, 20, that's about what you could expect out of the Lions.
Yeah.
Not six. Six. I mean, because the Lions played good. The Lions defense played great. I mean, against almost any other team, when Calvin's healthy, if you go on the road and hold the team to 14 points, you're going to win the game. You're usually going to win the game by double digits. And real impressive performance by their defense. Do you agree, Keith?
I do agree. I agree 100%. Patrick Peterson was probably the MVP of that game last week. You said Calvin had a decent game, 5 for 59?
Yeah, a lot of targets, though. I mean, it was a...
It's goal score. You know, when he's... Even when, you know, can throw 40-yard Hail Marys to him, Peterson took Calvin Johnson basically out of that game. When you're playing against a number one receiver, if you hold him to 60 yards receiving, you shut him down. That's a great defensive performance right there. And then on the other side, Golden Tate, I don't believe he went off either, right?
No, I mean, Stafford only threw for – Calvin led the team in receiving with the 59 yards.
Yeah.
Stafford threw for 183. So, I mean, honestly, yeah. The most effective guy for the Lions was Joik Bell, which you could have never seen that coming into the game, given how well the Arizona run defense was. That was the book on Arizona coming into the game, is you can't run on them at all, but you can throw on them all over the place, and they just turned that on its head.
Arizona's ranked 29th in the league passing yards given up at 263. But didn't look like it last week, that's for sure. I mean, that secondary is really coming together. Tyrann Mathieu's healthy again, the honey badger. And Peterson's playing top notch. He definitely earning his money.
And you got to think a lot of that's the game plan. You have to think that they're coming into that game. They said, all right, we're going to make Joik Bell beat us. Right? I mean,
basically. Yeah.
And it worked. And I think this week you're going to see. We're gonna make Doug Baldwin beat us, and so I don't expect much from Lynch this week. Again, kind of like Senior said, I the fact that it's in Seattle, and they're so tough to beat there, and I think they're just a little bit hungry, but by no means do I think they're blowing the doors off the Cardinals or anything. I just think the Cardinals aren't going to get quite enough done offensively in that game. With Stanton at quarterback.
I could see Drew Stanton turning the ball over more than Russell Wilson will. You know, I can see a couple picks coming. Cause, I mean, he threw a couple last week to Detroit. They just never capitalized on him. So, you know, if you start throwing interceptions against Seattle, which you know they can do, that the secondary's starting to get healthy again. Cam Chancellor's back. So he came back last week. I think he missed the previous 2 weeks. He played last week, so
things can.
It's going to be a really good game. So, I mean, I, like I said, if these two teams played on a neutral field, you know, kind of flip a coin, right? As a matter of fact, you might even give Arizona the edge. But in Seattle, I'm gonna go with the home team there.
Yeah, and I mean, I think on a neutral field, you have to give Arizona the edge. You have to. Given, like Senior said, they are just a better team. Right now,
yeah.
But things can snowball real quick in Seattle. To your point, Keith, with the turnovers, and we'll see what happens. All right. Next thing I want to talk about is a certain wide receiver is coming off suspension this week, and you're hearing about it, but I don't think you're hearing quite enough about it. Josh Gordon. Missing for the season. This guy was the best wide receiver in the NFL last year. I think, particularly when you look at the numbers he put up with who was throwing him the ball, and it's absolutely incredible. I mean, he had Brian Hoyer for what 1 week, 1 week or 2 weeks, who is no world beater, right? Hoyer was by far the best quarterback they had. It was a combination of Jason Campbell and the immortal Brandon Whedon the rest of the time. And Josh Gordon led the league in receiving in 14 games. That tells you all you need to know about Josh. So with the AFC North, you have the Cincinnati 6-3-1, Pittsburgh 7-4 going into the bye, Baltimore 6-4, Cleveland 6-4. I almost look at Gordon coming back like kind of like one of those in baseball, like one of those deadline deals where you're loading up for the pennant for the pennant race. I mean, I think he wins them this division by himself, wins them this division, because they're a good team without him. They're a good team. They do things the right way, and I mean their offense has been good, but it's been a real run heavy offense. Mm-hmm. And he's adding an element that they don't have, that most teams don't have, in that they're getting a true number one that it doesn't matter how many people are covering him. He gets his, and he opens up the field for the rest of the guys and the running game. And the way the NFL, the way that they bargained this with him, with the new drug policy, where he has been in the facility for the last 11 weeks, in the team facility, working out, all the quotes you see from him, I'm taking the league by storm. They say he's in great shape and he's just ready to go. Yep. There's not going to be any lag time. I mean, I think not enough is being made of this. What do you think, Senior?
And he's also got a sweet matchup to come in with. You know, he may be at the really showcase his stuff playing in the dome at Atlanta against that ridiculous pass defense. So Josh could come right in there and make a big difference. And also, it's possible, I know they're saying day-to-day now, but they could be getting Jordan Cameron back too, if not this week, next week, from his concussion.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had kind of a bit of a disappointing season. He's been banged up, but, I mean, when he's played, he wasn't putting up the numbers he did last year, but as you say, part of that could be the fact that Josh wasn't on the field. I mean, this could just open a bud tight end, and this could open it up for him. So, yeah, obviously, you're adding the guy that led the league in receiving last year, and like you said, Cowboy, without the benefit of a great quarterback throwing him the ball.
And he only played 14 games. He was suspended the first two games of the season. It's an incredible feat what he did last year. It really, really is. And I mean, I think if it happened somewhere other than Cleveland, like if he was on, you know, a bigger market like the Giants, or if he was a Cowboy or something, not like myself, like a Dallas Cowboy, he would, you know, people would make a little bit of a bigger deal of it. I think he's almost like a, outside of the true big NFL fan. I mean, you don't think of Josh Gordon being one of the top five players in the league, but he is. I mean, and he's just a kid, and I mean, you know, I hope for his sake and for our sake that he can keep his head screwed on straight, because that kid's 22 or 23 years old, and I mean, you could be looking at another Calvin Johnson, but maybe a guy who doesn't have that injury history like Calvin. You know, I mean, he stays healthy. I mean, he's everything you would want in a receiver physically and more. And I mean, the crazy thing about him is they say his route running and stuff is not even very polished yet. That he basically did that last year, just running three different routes. I mean, he's just uncoverable. And
yeah,
if you look at their remaining schedule, at Atlanta, at Buffalo, home for Indy, home for Cincy, at Carolina, at Baltimore, every single one of those is a winnable game. And they're sitting at 6-4 right now. And my guess would be that 10-6 probably wins that division. And I see no reason they can't get there.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a division that's basically four teams that have been, you know, dead even to this point in the season, which is amazing, dead even, good even. Well, who else is adding something to their team that's going to, you know, make them that much better? You know, that's a difference maker. Nobody else. Nobody's adding a player of that caliber at this point in the season. And not only that, you know, he's got a lot in the tank. I mean, when other guys are starting to wear down in week 15, 16, and 17, he's going to be just hitting his stride at the beginning of the season. You know, so he could be an absolute terror down the stretch. So I don't agree with you that he's a huge difference maker, and absolutely he could be the difference that wins this division for the Browns, which would be really nice to see, too. It would be nice to see the Browns win the division. I think it's good for Cleveland. It's good for the NFL to get, you know, a story, even though they're not the same Cleveland Browns that they used to be, but kind of a story, original NFL franchise back on the map. It would be very nice.
And Senior, you alluded to this earlier, but I like them, what they did with Ben Tate cutting him. I mean, he didn't, unless there's stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't know, he didn't do anything LeGarrette Blount-like, but he just griped a little bit, and no bullshit. You're gone. You're either rowing or you're in the water. And I love the precedent that said, and I also like the stuff they've said about Gordon. So I mean, it's pretty easy to see through it when Andrew Hawkins is your number one receiver. But you know, he hasn't earned anything. He's not a savior. He's going to have to work his way back into the offense. They have a real good culture Patine has embedded there, and that's, you know, it's similar to Arizona in that way. Just a, you know, the sum of the parts is greater than the individual parts. Because if you look, I mean, outside of Gordon, if you look at the rosters in that division, that team doesn't belong winning that division, right? I mean, but they're getting it done. How do you feel about the Browns, Keith? You agree with this sentiment?
I agree somewhat, yeah. The only thing, like you read off the teams they're playing, the only bad part of it is four of those six games are on the road. So that's, you know, it's not that easy to win on the road in the NFL. So we'll see. But I definitely agree with you. Josh Gordon's going to make them that much better. I wouldn't doubt if the first play of the game is a play-action bomb to Josh Gordon. And to see him score a touchdown, you know, basically his first reception, especially against Atlanta. But this, I don't want to call it a trap game. I mean, Atlanta is a division leader, but they better be careful with this one because Atlanta can score in the dome. So,
yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Atlanta's tough at home, and Atlanta's playing for the division
at home,
too.
Right.
And
right.
This previous game, I mean, as impressive as the Browns were and as big of a win as that was at Cincinnati, I mean, that was great, huge win for the city. This last game, like losing at home, kind of losing big at home to Mallett and the Texans, that looks almost
Ryan
like
Ryan Mallett, baby.
Well, that looks a little trappy to me that they – you know, they might have read some of their press clippings. So that could be, you know, can go one of two ways, right? It can either send you on a spiral or Patine's working them that much harder now. And that's their wake up call. Cause if they're sitting at 7-3 getting Gordon back already leading the division, I mean, you're sitting pretty and now they have their work cut out for them a little bit.
Yeah.
You got to look at that game. Hopefully, you know, if you want to look at it the optimistic way, it's just one of the tick-ups, you know, both offensively and defensively. You know, we've talked a lot about their offense here, but, you know, okay, they gave up 23 points to Houston last week, but if you go back to the five or six games previous to that, that defense played extremely well. Their defense has been surprising long and been very reliable for them, and I don't see any reason that that's not going to continue, that the defense isn't going to pick it back up. And with the support from an offense that's about to get better, will keep them off the field even a little more and make other teams play from behind. It's just going to make that defense better. I do like their chances down the stretch. If I had to pick a winner in that division right now, I would pick the Browns.
On record,
you know, I'm looking at it here, and basically the weak link on the Cleveland defense is the run defense. And their remaining schedule, none of those other five teams really run the ball well. Atlanta, Buffalo, Indy, Carolina, and I mean Baltimore's decent, but so that, you know, that kind of stacks
well
up well for them. Right, Cincinnati. That's the only one out of the six.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only one out of the six.
That works well. Absolutely, I like that. And to take it one step further, seeing that I'm telling you who I think is going to win that division, I still think the Steelers are going to end out in last place. You know, they're not playing this week. We don't get to talk about them, but the Steelers suck, and they're going to be the last place team in that division. Cleveland first, Pittsburgh last. It's a beautiful thing.
Last place, huh, Senior?
Absolutely. Right where those dogs belong.
Do you think two teams from this division make the playoffs? Figure the division winners, you know, because, I mean, who else is really in contention? I mean, there's really no one in the South unless Houston can get real hot.
Kansas City and
Miami. Well, that's true. That's right. I forgot. Yeah, Kansas City and Denver, right?
So there's one of your wild cards.
So basically one open.
Miami.
So you're
Miami,
talking Miami or, yeah,
or
Miami
or
one of these.
I mean, if it's Keith, the wild card, like, real good chance that two teams out of the division make the playoffs. If it ended right now, Cincy and Pittsburgh would both be in.
All right.
And then you have Baltimore and Cleveland also sitting at 6-4. So Miami, San Diego, also 6-4. Houston and Buffalo, 5-5. So
yeah.
I think, I mean, barring the way we haven't talked about it, but the way San Diego has played lately, I mean, something's up. Something's up there. So they're, you know, someone leaked that something's wrong with Rivers, and I believe that based on the way he's been playing.
I think he took a beating last week.
That's my upset special for the week. I think St. Louis goes in there and beats him this week. I think it's a really, really tough game for San Diego, given the way the Rams are playing. I think I would not surprise you at all. So,
if you watched that game last week with San Diego, Phillip Rivers, he hurt his knee somehow. That's one tough bastard, man. I don't know if you guys saw it, where he got rolled up on.
He could hardly walk.
And he stayed in the game. He played the rest of that game. And Gates said he has, a problem with his ribs as well. And that does not bode well when you're going to face St. Louis with that pass rush. So the only way
you don't get two from that division is if both you need two of Miami, San Diego, Houston, and Buffalo to beat out the second place team in that division. I don't see it happening personally.
Well, you got to figure Kansas City and Denver, right?
Whichever wins the division, the other's in.
So there's only one wild card spot left. So it's either Miami or one of these teams, basically.
Right.
Or one of the San Diego. I think San Diego's done.
Yeah.
I think Phillip Rivers is hurt, and I don't think he's without him, they're nothing. They're garbage without Phillip Rivers.
If I had to pick it now, I would say Cincinnati will be that other playoff team.
Yeah, Dalton is so bad. I mean, he played all right this week. I mean, he's regressed. I don't like him. I really think it's Pittsburgh senior, and I'm not just being a jerk. I just think that their weapons are better than others, and they're inconsistently consistent. So they're 7-4. I think they finished 10-6, and I think that's
they
good.
Finally realized to, you know, they got a workhorse back in Le'Veon Bell. Give him the fucking ball.
Right.
That's how they won that game last week, this past Monday against Tennessee. They were down, 24-13, I believe,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And then they just said, here, Le'Veon, run. He had, over 30 carries in that game.
Yeah, 33. And then, it did. They,
and then, you go play action off of that, and now, you're talking about Antonio Brown, top five receiver in the league. He's hard to cover, but when you know Ben's going to drop back and throw the ball, it makes it a little easier to cover those guys up.
I think Miami's a better team than Pittsburgh, but I think their schedule is what's going to do them in. I think their schedule's too tough.
Cincinnati and Pittsburgh play each other twice down the stretch, including the last game of the season in Pittsburgh. So maybe that game between the two of them would decide it, and I would love to see the Steelers go down at home. You know, you talk about to me, now, once they get Gio Bernard back in Cincy, now that Hill has really established himself, you know, now that he's gotten all these extra playing time with Bernard out and really established himself as a big-time back, that two-headed monster could be really good and could take a lot of pressure off Dalton if they can really run the ball effectively and make Dalton's life easier. And he's got A.J. Green healthy now. And another thing that happened while Green was out, Sanu really established himself as established himself more than he ever had in his career. So, you know, you say you don't like Dalton, but the weapons around him might make his life a lot easier.
I mean, you give a seat to senior.
I still think they're having Pittsburgh. For one thing, just a character thing. The Steelers are going to choke and then know it.
Senior, I know. I don't mean to call you to task here, but the thing that you really get on Pittsburgh about is the trick-or-treat. I mean, Cincinnati is more so. I mean, they literally couldn't have... That game against Cleveland is literally like the worst game I've ever seen an NFL team play. I mean, it was bad. Bad.
Really? Did you see it when they played Indy?
Did the Steelers play the Jets?
No, that's true.
You know, at least Cleveland's a decent football team.
I mean, the Steelers played infinitely better against the Jets than Cincinnati did against Cleveland.
But it was the Jets.
I understand, senior.
Cincinnati showed the Phillies.
And Cincinnati really...
And they lost to Tampa.
Cincinnati really hasn't... I mean, I picked them to make the Super Bowl, but they really haven't looked good. In my humble opinion, they haven't looked good. And we'll see.
Well,
I mean, they're playing at Houston this week. I think that's a loss.
I agree.
Okay, I'll be on the island and take the Bengals in this one.
You like them at Houston, senior?
Yes, I like the Bengals to win in Houston, definitely.
I mean, they played good last week against New Orleans, but I don't know. Then there's two games against Pittsburgh.
Beating New Orleans at home or away is a totally different thing. You know, winning a game convincingly 27-10 at New Orleans is a nice performance. You got to say that.
It is. New Orleans didn't play very well, obviously.
As bad as New Orleans has been playing, they're still good at home.
All right.
Speaking of New Orleans, that's who the Steelers have coming up next. Although it's in Pittsburgh. The Roughs.
That's a win for the Steelers. All day.
Oh.
So, seeing
you. I mean,
we'll talk about that one next week.
All right. Very good.
How I feel about the Steelers.
But their remaining schedule is New Orleans, Cincy, Atlanta, KC, Cincy.
Right, so
that's a rough stretch for Pittsburgh.
So, guys, I wanted to close things out with the 90s talk got me feeling a little nostalgic. So I wanted to do some just little discussion around. Maybe we can do this with a different position every week, but I'm feeling running backs today. I'm going to start with senior. I want not over a career, but just in their prime, the best running back you ever saw in your lifespan, and why?
Oh my God, I don't even have to hesitate, you know. Or definitely, there's no doubt in my mind. For his college career and his pro career, when he was in his prime, I've never seen anyone close to O.J. Simpson. I mean, you guys probably aren't old enough to have really watched him. I watched him at USC, and then I watched his whole pro career, and I watched him run right over the Patriots. I mean, the combination of speed, power, elusiveness. He could catch passes out of the backfield. He was the complete back, and he was just unstoppable. He was just completely unstoppable. He was the guy that you talk about, a guy who, my God, every time he touches the ball, he could go all the way. Yeah, and you thought that. You thought every time the Juice touched the ball, he could go all the way. But he was also powerful enough to, when you needed 1 or 2 yards, he could run somebody over, and then you weren't going to stop him from getting that either. He was the ultimate running back. I don't think we'll ever see another one like him. I mean, obviously he's more famous now for other things, and people didn't see him play. You know, it's this guy saying, O.J. Simpson, and, you know, you got to be kidding me. But I've never seen anyone. I've seen some guys that came close. You know, Walter Payton, maybe.
No more names, senior. We have to pick, too.
Okay. O.J. is the gold standard. There's no doubt about it. I've never seen anybody as good as him.
So he did. He ran for 2,000 yards in a 14-game season, if I'm not mistaken, before expansion.
Yeah.
So the teams were a little better.
Over 500 of them in two games against the Patriots that year, which obviously I witnessed.
Were you there? Did you see him live?
Oh, I saw O.J. play live. Yes, I did. He was unbelievable. He was unbelievable, and you kind of knew it, you know. And Southern Cal was a team that was, you know, we didn't get the TV coverage of college football like we do today, but, you know, I would watch. There'd be like two games of the week every Saturday, and, you know, there wasn't that much sports on TV then, you know, and there wasn't ESPN and everything, so I would watch them. And they showed USC quite a bit, and this guy was just, he was just unbelievable, and you knew it before he came into the pros, and it's the same thing. He's just unstoppable, just totally, totally incredible. Definitely OJ.
So, Senior, I know neither of us will pick this guy, but the same thing I've heard said about Jim Brown. Do you remember Jim Brown?
Toward the tail, you know, I know he had a short career, and I was young. Yeah, I saw him at the tail end. He was good. My memory of him isn't as good as that of OJ because I was young, and I think of him as more of a power back. He didn't have the, you know, yeah, he would run anybody over. I'm not saying he wasn't fast, but he wasn't as fast as OJ. OJ was the combination of both, and I don't think he was quite as elusive as OJ. Part of the reason why he probably didn't want to play that many years is he just wanted to run people over. You know, some people older than me would say Jim Brown, but I'll still go with OJ. With the little I remember of Jim Brown, OJ was better. I'm sure there's people that would take me to task on that, and I would say I didn't see him through his whole career because I was too young.
That's why I asked. It's the beauty of this exercise, Senior. So thank you for that. Keith.
Yep.
I think he's still playing right now. Well, not this year he's not playing, but Adrian Peterson. I think he's the best running back I think I've ever seen. He's not my favorite. My favorite was Barry Sanders. But I think Adrian Peterson is. So you're talking size, speed, can catch the ball out of the backfield, do anything and everything you want, and he does it on shitty teams against eight in the box, basically his entire career. Maybe 1 year when Brett Favre was there.
The season other than that, he's been faced. The season he almost broke the rushing record was one of the more...
was incredible.
I mean, when he was 100% right, and that was his gold standard. And I mean, I don't know if you remember, but they made the playoffs that year, and he needed X number of yards to break the rushing record. He ended out 7 yards short, but I clearly remember them being, you know, I think they needed to kick a field goal to win the game to make the playoffs, and they were at like the 45-yard line with 30-something seconds left and no timeouts, and they just gave it to him, and he got 12 yards, and then they kicked the field goal. So, yeah. So for me,
now, seeing it, you went with OJ. How do you think Peterson compares to OJ?
Yeah, Peterson is real good, but still not as good as OJ. Not as elusive, not as fast, maybe just as powerful. And I'm not saying
wow.
And that's not knocking.
OJ was faster than Peterson?
Wow. Definitely. Definitely faster. Definitely more elusive. Power, I'd say they're equal. They could both run people over. You know, they're not these huge backs, but they were strong enough to run people over. But, yeah, OJ was definitely more elusive and would run away from people even more than Peterson, definitely.
Wow. That would have been a sight to see, huh?
Yeah, that is. Cause, I mean, well, because Peterson, I mean, when Peterson's right, I mean, he can take it to the house from anywhere, anytime.
Yeah,
and,
all he needs
and,
is once
and
he hits the second level, it's done. Yeah,
All right, so for me, I'm going to throw two names out there. So the first one, Keith said... Barry Sanders,
yep.
best back I've ever seen. Just, I mean, he did stuff that no one I've ever seen could do. I mean, I know he had a share of negative yardage runs. He wasn't the biggest guy in the world. He wasn't going to run you over, but he did stuff that no one did before him, and I don't think anyone's going to do after him. Just those, his highlight reel, I think, is the best one of all of them. I mean, he's just incredible, and also on some shitty teams with Adrian. You know, it's kind of similar to Peterson that way. And you know, I always thought it was a shame. I mean, you don't know how Yeah, I was always curious how Barry was going to age because his game was so speed based. You know, he didn't take a ton of big hits, but you know, we didn't get that opportunity because he quit. So
yeah,
I was. It's kind of a what if, and I hope the same thing doesn't happen to Peterson when it might. But I mean, a lot of stuff you're reading is he's done in Minnesota, and I'm sure someone else will give him a chance. But you just hope that this whole thing didn't, you know, coming on to his age 30 season, you know, he's the kind of talent that I think he can maybe throw that number out the window a little bit. I don't think there's many guys you can throw it out the window for, but I think a guy like him, you can, like Marcus Allen, you could. And, you know, it'll be, hopefully he still has that passion that he had before. So the reason I said at their peak and not career is because The best running back I ever saw. Power speed combo. I mean, I can't imagine OJ was faster than this guy or stronger than this guy. And it was very brief, like a quick bolt of lightning. And I wasn't that old, so maybe he showed a little more to me than because I was younger. But it was Bo Jackson.
I knew that was coming. Oh. I was going to say he could hit a baseball pretty far too.
He could, but. He as good as he was at baseball, he was better at football. And I mean, yes. if I remember right, he would get up basically, you know, finish the baseball season, come in about week four, and I mean, for that short period of time, he had a lot of the stuff AP has, but even more of a in a faster, stronger package. At least for me. What do you think about that, Senior?
Yeah, that was a great choice, and I knew that's what you were going to say. Yeah, definitely. Speed and power. There's probably never been a human being quite like him. Why I pick OJ, I guess it would be the word I use would be elusiveness. You know, OJ just made more plays than he did. He would just be able to get away from you. Maybe he had a better feel for what he was doing or something, but OJ was just totally elusive. No, you can't say he was faster and stronger than Bo Jackson, though. That guy was a freak of nature. You know, yeah, he was amazing, not for a long period of time. The other guy, if I have to go into the past and tell you about a guy who didn't do it for long,
I know who this is going to be.
Who would rank up there in the top three or four that I ever saw would be Gale Sayers. You know, tragically, career cut short, but he was freaking amazing. He was absolutely amazing. He was, okay, sort of like a Barry Sanders type, but I think even better.
He's a little bigger, right? A little bit bigger.
Yeah. The guy that was always looking to break the big one. He would return punts, too. You know, he was unbelievable. He was an amazing player who didn't do it for long, so he would... You know, not the same type as Bo, but comparable to Bo in that, you know, short career, but unbelievable. But I'm still going to stick with my guy, but I knew you were saying Bo, and Bo is a great choice, absolutely. I mean, Bo, as far as physical tools go, I don't think anybody ever had what he had. You know, as far as that just pure, you know, I guess if you put these guys all in a combine, he would probably wow you more than any of them if you tested strength and speed and just being a physical specimen. There's probably, you know, Bo Jackson's probably the closest thing to Superman that's ever walked the face there. As an unbelievable athlete, that's just a great choice, or Cowboy.
Keith, you remember Bo?
I do remember Bo. I do. I forgot about him, though, because they were so brief. You know, I'm an honorable mention, Terrell Davis.
Yeah, for a short period of time.
3 years.
Keith, we're going to have to argue. So two guys I would leave off the list would be Davis and Emmitt Smith. Both very, very good players. But I think the thing you said about AP and the thing I said about Barry and the thing Senior said about OJ, the Bills sucked. Correct, Dad. They weren't any good at all, right, back then.
I don't know. They went to the playoffs a few times.
Because of him. Right. Yeah. So,
strictly because of him.
I think you throw a guy like Terrell Davis on that Minnesota team that AP almost broke the record with. And maybe, you know, 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns sounds about right to me. That's a good year. That's a good year. I'm not knocking.
No. I all I could think of when you said that was Trent Richardson.
Yeah, he's one guy who's not in this conversation. That's the last. No. T Rich got enough play tonight. Not in the greatest running back talk, but I mean, I try to think of if you put a guy like Peterson on that Broncos team, how much would he break the rushing record by? 500 yards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Emmett, too. I think Emmett was better than Terrell Davis, but still benefited from the, you know, it's possible, might be.
Great offensive line.
It's probably the best offensive line, maybe, you know, them or maybe the Hogs in Washington. I mean, one of the best offensive lines in the history of football. And he was great, but I think it's just a smidge below. Do you agree with that, Senior?
Yep, I totally agree with you. Great player. The thing is, you know, I'm in that system. If you, you know, there's a lot of guys who maybe not done what he did, but came close to it, where there aren't a lot of guys that could do what these other few guys we mentioned did. These guys were. It's the eye test. They were just. These guys were a cut above. You just watch them, and there's just something absolutely special about those guys that goes beyond an Emmitt Smith or a Terrell Davis. I agree with that. But here's a good comparison. You say, who's the best running back in football now? And the guy that's having the best year is DeMarco Murray, but is he the best running back in football? You know,
To me, it's Jamal nope. Charles.
Charles,
yeah. But I mean, Murray's putting up the better numbers, but it's the same kind of thing, you know, and it's a lot of it is system based. I'm not saying he's not a really, really good player, but right, there's something. Charles is better than him, you know, and he's in the right system. And I'm not saying he's not real good,
right?
But
so I think another guy that I think maybe doesn't get the quite as much credit as he deserves is LT LaDainian.
Yeah. He was great for a while.
Really, good.
Really, I mean, not up there with these
quite
guys.
Quite in that class, either, but
I would
really
put him
good.
In Emmitt Smith's class for at his peak. I mean, he was.
Yes. Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So, well, what do you guys think of this exercise? Marshall, absolutely versatility.
Yeah,
but you know,
he
was like a little different than these other guys, Keith, in that he was pretty much a running back and a wide receiver all at the same time.
Well,
and he was in a great system.
Was,
yeah. Falk even more so, especially with St. Louis. I mean, he was in a great system, but he was one of the reasons it was a great system. You know, his unique skill set was made for that system. Like, you couldn't throw. You could, you know, like he was better for that Rams team than Peterson would have been for that Rams team because of the out of the back, because of his versatility. So what do you guys think? This is a good exercise that you'd like to continue?
Yeah, I kind of like
it. That was great. We could pick something different next time and do a best of all time thing. Just throw it at us.
Yeah, we need you on here, Senior, because me and Keith are approximately the same age, so we only have about 1986 on covered. So we need you for the classics.
I'm there for you. You need the old man.
Don't like fine wine, Senior. You just get better with age. I can.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So that's gonna wrap us up for the Sports Lounge tonight. Great show. We appreciate you listening. And again, we're going to try to get the special guest, but at the very least, myself, the cowboy, your host, Keith, the animal, Keith Schmidt, and Cowboy Senior, the straw that stirs the drink, we're going to be here for you next week. We're hoping to be joined by Andy Flanagan, sometimes goes by the Lone Ranger, to keep us all in check when we go off on our Patriots tangent. So we'll be back next week. Hope everybody enjoys the games this week and enjoys the world of sports this week. So, for Keith, for Senior,
Steelers suck.
I'm the Cowboy, and I'm out.
Sexy, back it on up and show and prove that loving me sexy is a thing to do. Your body says love me, your mind says sexy. Love me sexy. Sexy. Baby, are you ready to lick me sexy?
of the week, are you in the mood to fly to the stars with Jackie Moon? When